Views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers.
Feeling bogged down by your daily grind? Not living up to your greatest potential? Then it's time to turn up the heat and get real with what truly matters, be it family, career, wellness, spirituality, or anything else that fuels your inner flame. Join Fire It Up with CJ as this respected life coach talks to a wide range of experts and everyday people for their inspiring and unconventional ideas to help you make the most from your life. Equal parts heart warmer, cheerleader, and butt kicker, CJ Liu draws on her extensive experience in business and life coaching, along with her intuition and playful humor, to address meaningful topics with truth and irreverence. It takes just one spark to ignite a fire. Now, here's your host, CJ.
With CJ. I am CJ Liu, and this is going to start our four-part series and look at the multi-generational workforce. And today we have Steve Troutman. Welcome.
Thank you.
Steve Troutman is the founder and principal of Steve Troutman Company, and he is a knowledge transfer expert. And you may ask yourself, what is knowledge transfer? So that's the first question.
That's
Steve,
a great...
is knowledge transfer? What is it?
That's a great first question, CJ. So here's how I think about it. Knowledge transfer is replicating the skills, the expertise, the wisdom, the tacit knowledge of professionals, moving that information into the heads and the hands of their coworkers. It's a little different than job shadowing because it's a little more organized than that. It's also a little more methodical and a little bit more measurable. But the idea is that you have experts in your company who have been doing their job, who are very good at it, and oftentimes we want to replicate them. So knowledge transfer is a way to do that.
And how do people go about doing that? I mean, it's not that, I mean, aside from cloning, which we've yet to figure out, how do people go about doing that?
Well, a typical situation is that you'll have an employee who's been around for a long time, who has some experience and knowledge. And they oftentimes do their work in a way that even unfamiliar to them. You know, in other words, they do it like breathing. They don't think about it very much. And so what we do is we help them to organize it into kind of manageable chunks and then explain themselves in sort of 1 hour blocks and then use questions that they will allow them to test whether or not that knowledge has been transferred to their to the apprentice or the coworker that they're trying to teach. And doing that all while they're kind of wearing their regular day job hat. So they have to be able to do it in the context of a typically very busy work situation.
Yeah, and I imagine not a lot of people love doing this, right? I mean, it's hard, right?
Well, people don't find it a natural thing to do. So there's a percentage of the population that do. They're pretty comfortable with it and do it kind of instinctively. But a lot of people just find it to be befuddling. You know, they just don't know how to do it. And so they get a little frustrated by it.
How did you even come into this field? I mean, what was the need that you saw or the problem that you saw that you decided to focus your life? Knowledge transfer, right?
Yeah. I started thinking about it in the early 90s. I was a new program manager at Microsoft, and my job was to ship the early versions of Word in German, French, Spanish, Italian, and Portuguese.
Oh, just that.
And I was uniquely unqualified for that job. I didn't have any technical experience, barely knew how to double-click personally, and I mean that really. And I had to develop a lot of technical knowledge very quickly to be able to manage my team and to be able to manage the release of the products I was working on. And the trouble I was having is that I was working with a lot of very smart people. The building was full of them. But when they talked, I couldn't understand a word they said. So it was really confusing. Mm-hmm. And so I said, kind of in a fit of insomnia and frustration, I said, maybe I can teach them how to be teachers so that they can teach me and my staff how to do our jobs. And that was the beginning of this. We used to call it peer mentoring. And the idea was, let's take a smart person and get them to explain themselves in a way that makes more sense to others.
Right.
Let's make sure that we test the assumptions that they're working under. Let's make sure we organize them a little bit before they start talking. Let's make sure that they have a way of measuring whether or not they've been heard. Because oftentimes they would talk for an hour and I would lose them 20 minutes into it and, you know, get so confused.
Right.
And it was really effective. In fact, we trained thousands of people at Microsoft over the years as a way of helping them, because the company was growing so fast. We're hiring 50 people a week, and we just really needed to onboard the new hires. We needed to replicate the best people, and you know, that was the way that I set about doing that.
Yeah, interesting. So it was really at Microsoft that it kind of started. And then how did you get other people interested, and who was involved in making, you know, and going, yeah, this guy's got something there, you know?
Well, you know, it did start at Microsoft, and for years they were the primary place. We did it first when I was an employee there, but later as I opened my consulting practice and started to serve other clients, Microsoft continued to be the kind of the biggest one. But really over the last 10 plus years now, we've had this opportunity to take these ideas and spread them into a really broad variety of organizations. So everything from lots of high-tech companies like, you know, video game industry, EA, Activision, Blizzard, Zynga, those are examples, but also companies where the product is manufacturing, and so working, you know, helping Boeing build 737s, or right now we're working on a company that's building a $400 million oil rig in that will float in the ocean. Sometimes it's companies where it's a craft, where it's a company where you've got a lot of research and development going on, and you've got experts who've been working on the edible moisture barrier that keeps the cream cheese from blending into the bagel.
Right.
You know, when you freeze it, or somebody whose job is to, at Cadbury, to pick the sugar for the next chocolate.
Right.
And, you know, they have... sometimes it's folks who are out swinging a hammer, or you know, their primary tools are physical tools.
It's virtually anything, because knowledge, I mean, transferring any type of knowledge, whether it's manufacturing, service, technology,
exactly.
You know, it's all, there's always some expert that you need to pass the knowledge.
Precisely. There's the only common thread to all the clients that we work with is that they all are human.
Right.
You know, it's a person who knows and a person who needs to know, and the information is being passed from person to person.
So is it usually, who usually comes to? Is it like the head of the company, or how do people find, who are the people who typically look for you?
We first and foremost focus on executives, line executives. So, you know, this is the executive who has a responsibility for building a product or providing a service to their customers, and they need to make sure that they've got a ready workforce. That means they've got the right people at the right place at the right time to be able to do the job.
But do you even find that they even know that? You know, I mean, it's almost that most people don't even know that they have a problem,
yeah.
Right?
Well, it's absolutely a big issue, is that or that they know they have a problem, but they didn't know that you could put a box around it and solve it.
Mm-hmm.
Because people problems are as old as having employees. And, you know, the concept of dealing with the challenges of having different people wandering into different jobs at different times is real. But for most executives that we talk to, they say this to me all the time. They say, wow, I didn't realize that there was a straightforward way to solve this problem. We've always known we had it, but I didn't really believe until I met you that it's a solvable problem.
But do they come to you saying, hey, you know what, we actually figured out that we need to figure out a way to train our next set of employees? Yeah. What is it? Is that what they come in?
No, they typically they're struggling with some issue. Like, we have a lot of new hires.
Right.
So we're trying to get the next generation onboarded. They're taking too long to get up to speed. Mm-hmm. When they get up to speed, the quality of their work is not where we want it. They're not happy, for example. Or they've got a big transition, like a reorganization, or they've merged two companies together, or they're trying to offshore some work and they need to try to grow a workforce that's in another location, for example. Or, as is often the case, and we'll talk about today, is this generational issue where they've got 30-40% of their employees are really of retirement age, and they're ready to, and especially as the economy recovers, they're getting ready to retire.
Right.
And many of these people have been doing their jobs for decades, and now we have to figure out how to replace them.
Right, so there's some type of metric that they hear or something that they think, oops, this is a problem.
Mm-hmm.
Like either this number is down, or I'm like looking at the date, people aren't communicating, so it comes in the form of some problem, and then
yes,
the root cause of that problem
absolutely
is knowledge transfer.
Oftentimes we can connect the problem of knowledge transfer to many other kind of critical business issues.
Yeah. So then once people actually start doing this, what are the risks that they didn't even know that they have? Like you said earlier, mm-hmm. you said sometimes they have risks that they don't even know
yeah.
that they have.
Well, it's funny you should ask about risk, because for us, risk is just the core way we think about the problem we're solving. You know, executives worry about risk every day.
Mm-hmm.
They worry about risk in lots of ways. For example, they worry about risk of litigation by having things like lawyers and contracts and insurance. They worry about risk of finances by having things like cash reserves.
Yeah, business risk, typical stuff. Right?
Exactly. Production or health and safety. They have all kinds of ways to talk about and think
right.
about risk. But when you ask a simple question, you say, how are you understanding and mitigating the risk that you will have a ready workforce? right? How are you thinking about whether or not you'll have the right people? And wine managers generally look at me with sort of stunned silence. They're like, pause.
What?
Yeah, because
what is a ready workforce? I mean, you don't even know what that is. I mean, I didn't know what that was until talking to you.
Yeah, just the idea that you have the right people at the right place ready to do the job.
Right.
How do you know for sure that you will? And generally what I see when I ask that question is standard answers like, well, we have a headcount plan, so we know how many people are reporting to whom. We have a demographic profile. We know how old people are, and we know what their education is, things like that. We have potentially even things like competency models where we've done some mapping against that. But in all those cases, none of them, when you look at them, gives you a clear indication
of risk. The synthesis of all the different pieces. Like, are you ready or not?
Will you have the team that can build the widget a year from now? Will the right people be completely prepared? None of the typical HR forms that are available to people to really provide that information.
Yeah.
What we like to be able to do is say that we can present a very clear risk, a very clear picture of your risk. We can say there are 40 people who are available to work on this project. These are the skills that they actually have. These are the skills, these are the areas of expertise that reside in each one of those people. This is what would happen if you lost one of those people. Here's what you're going to be needing if you're going to build out capacity to build 100 widgets instead of 10 widgets every week, for example. And that's definitely part of how we think about it. So knowledge transfer has to start with the concept of understanding what knowledge needs to be transferred to whom and in what order. You know, what is the priority?
And that's what we're going to be talking about next, is how do you transfer that, especially with you're talking about an elderly and a workforce, mm-hmm. transferring it to a multi-generational workforce. So next, we actually are going to talk about how retirees pass their pearls of wisdom. Steve, a Corporate America's knowledge transfer expert. Please listen to segment two and learn more about protecting your people investments. Remember, if you missed part of the show or want to hear more, look us up on iTunes or Fired Up with CJ.
TransformationTalkRadio.com. Transforming the world one listener at a time.
If you've gone through a separation and feel disappointment, despair, loss of identity, and fear, there is a new pathway to joy for you. SoulWorks Coaching empowers you to go through this separation with soul and hope. So get ready to step into a new relationship with yourself and build a fabulous new life. Contact Monique today at 617-328-7113. That's 617-328-7113. And visit soulworkscoaching.com. Give yourself this gift of love today.
Feeling bogged down by your daily grind? Not living up to your greatest potential? Then it's time to turn up the heat and get real with what truly matters, be it family, career, wellness, spirituality, or anything else that fuels your inner flame. Join Fire It Up with CJ as this respected life coach talks to a wide range of experts and everyday people for their inspiring and unconventional ideas to help you make the most from your life. Equal parts heart warmer, cheerleader, and butt kicker, CJ Liu draws on her extensive experience in business and life coaching, along with her intuition and playful humor, to address meaningful topics with truth and irreverence. It takes just one spark to ignite a fire. For dates and showtimes, visit www.fireitupwithcj.com or www.transformationtalkradio.com.
Ladies, are you living an inspired life? Do you yearn for a more passionate, dream-filled life? Here's Linda Joy, founder of Aspire Magazine, and she has a gift for you.
Aspire has launched its Mission to Inspire initiative with a commitment to give away 100,000 one-year digital subscriptions to women around the globe. Every subscription comes with a multitude of free gifts from our team inspiration partners.
To claim it all, go to AspireMag.net today. No purchase necessary. And live an inspired life.
Hey, Mary, I haven't seen you in so long. You look so different. What happened to your glasses? Did you have surgery?
Whoa.
I never noticed how blue your eyes are.
No, I didn't have surgery, and I don't have to wear glasses anymore. I searched the internet, and I found a website. It's called BetterEyesightNow.com. It is the best thing I have ever done. There's a program called Regaining Your Vision Naturally. And, oh, by the way, it helps reduce stress. You should check it out. And you might be able to get rid of your glasses. Go to BetterEyesightNow.com.
Everybody, thank you for listening to Fired Up with CJ. I am CJ Liu, and we will have a four-part series today with Steve Troutman, and we're looking at protecting your people investments. And so on the previous segment, welcome back, Steve.
Thank you.
Steve Troutman has for almost 20 years, oh my gosh, been helping corporate America transfer knowledge between coworkers and on the job. And we were talking earlier about how hard it is to get older folks to actually take their knowledge. It seems like an impossible task, but is it? How do you get people to do that?
Yeah, well, it's a very common challenge, CJ, where you have so many of my clients are struggling with this right now, where they've got 30, 40% of their workforce who are getting ready to retire, and they've been in their jobs for 20, 30 plus years. They've developed tremendous and deep expertise. And now they're ready to go. Somebody has to pick up the mantle and take on the work that they were doing. And the way I heard it one time that made me laugh, they said, his name is Joe. We don't really know what he does, but we're pretty sure if he stops, we're all going to die. And I think that's indicative of the challenge is that, and sometimes if you talk to Joe, he doesn't even really know what he does. He gets up every day, he goes to work and he does what he does, but they don't always have, real insight into it. And one of the challenges with that, too, is that if you've been doing something for a very long time, mm-hmm. some of what you know isn't important anymore. Some of what you know is obsolete and no longer valuable.
Right.
And so it's a challenge when somebody says, oh, you're ready to retire. Could you teach, Mike, the new guy, everything you need to know? And, oh, where do I begin? It's right. Really challenging.
Yeah, I mean, how do I take, 30, 40 years of my experience and teach Joe, the new guy, in 2 weeks, generally, right? Yeah, transition period.
Even if it's 6 months, it can still be very challenging, absolutely.
Yeah, so how do you work with some of these folks? Can you think of an example of when you've actually successfully navigated these waters?
Yeah, sure. We do this all the time, but I'll give you one funny story. It's from an aerospace company, and they had an engineer who had been in the company for nearly 40 years, and they looked across when I was in the office talking to the managers and who were struggling with this, and they said, there he is. It's over there in the corner, Bob. Bob's been here for 30 some years.
We're gonna die if it goes away. And we don't know why.
He's really. But the thing is that the trouble is Bob's really important and really valuable, and we're really gonna miss him. But the trouble is Bob hates people. Okay, Bob is not a nice person. Bob is not pleasant. Bob is not a good communicator. Bob doesn't like the idea of teaching other people. We know that for sure. And I said, wow, that sounds awful. That sounds pretty hopeless, doesn't it? I said, hey,
brain transplant.
There's no hope then, it sounds like. And so I said, could I buy Bob a cup of coffee? Why don't you set up a meeting so I can visit with him? And so I got time with this guy. And I said, Bob, I said, they think you're kind of a grumpy old curmudgeon. they think you're kind of a difficult and that you don't like people and that you're not willing to help and that you're not open to the idea of transferring your knowledge before I go.
What I appreciate is you just had that conversation with him.
Well, he did. And he said his shoulders went up and down with a big sigh. And he said, Steve, he said, I've been here a long time, as you're aware. And he said,
no, he's supposed to go, I've been here a long time, as you know.
Way back when I was a kid. Yeah. And he said, I've been here, and he said, after I had been here about 10 years, I just started knowing things, and people would come to my office and they would ask me questions. And I would sometimes spend a half a day with somebody answering their questions and explaining what I was doing and doing my very best to get it all out there. And at the end of that half a day, two things would often be true. That person I was trying to teach would hate my guts, and they would have learned absolutely nothing from me. And so by the time I'd done that a few times, I decided to skip the part where I spend a half a day with that person. And
I'm going to go directly to hate.
They hate my guts, and they've learned nothing from me. Why would I spend a half a day to get nothing out of it and to offer nothing? So a long time ago, I just gave up on the idea that I was going to actually be able to explain myself. And he said, the other problem is that when people come to me, they oftentimes say, Bob, can you tell me everything you know about topic X? And, no, I can't. I don't even know where to begin when you ask a question like that. Another problem he said, who cares what I know, honestly? I mean, who wants to learn from me? There's a bunch of people in my office. Two-thirds of them also have white hair. Right. And the other third are busy with other things, or they just aren't interested in what I'm doing. Right. So who am I going to teach? And when I listened to Bob talk, I really heard the voice of his generation. He was saying several very important and very straightforward management problems. Mm. He was saying, for starters, I don't know what to teach. So of my 30 years of experience, what do you want me to actually cover in the hour that I have set aside right now?
Right.
He said, I don't know who to teach.
Right.
So that means looking around and saying, do I have an apprentice who can learn from me, whose job is to learn from me?
Who's going to care?
Who's going to care and who's going to come work as hard as I do to learn it as much as I'm going to try to teach them. He also said, I don't know how to teach. I tried it and it didn't work. I'd spend hours doing my best and nothing happened. Mm. It was negative, actually. So I don't know how to teach. And if you can solve those three problems, if you can say what to teach, if you can say who to teach, and if you can say how to teach, you're going to be able to take the mystery out of knowledge transfer and make it something that's methodical and measurable and practical. It's absolutely what we do every single day.
And how is it different than some of the other things out there? Because, people say, well, we do that with job shadow. I get a sense from watching Bob every day what he does. Or they'll say, well, Bob, what I want you to do is log everything into a database. So then when your person comes to replace you, you'll kind of know, you can read the database and the worksheets and you have all the files and all this stuff. But why doesn't that work?
Well, it does sometimes. Formal training, for example, works really well when you have a group of people who all need to learn the same thing at the same time. It would be silly to do one-to-one knowledge transfer if you had 10 people who need to learn the same thing during the same week. Group sessions like that make a lot of sense. Job shadowing does work. It just takes a long time. And that's the big challenge, is that I've talked to people who spent a couple of years wandering around following their mentor and couldn't answer basic questions that I asked about
the work. A couple of years?
And that's not uncommon, especially in industries where it's common to spend, years in the development of your skill set. Now, nobody from the Gen Y population, the under 29 crowd, none of them want to spend years getting up to speed. Trust me, no corporations are happy that it's taking years to get up to speed. But job shadowing is oftentimes they don't know there's any better way, basically. Mm-hmm. And that's what it comes down to. But what I was talking to, there's another piece of the process that's actually quite important, which is thinking about how you can measure this. And that's one of the reasons why what we do is so exciting to executives when we talk to them.
How do you measure? What is this that you're measuring?
When you can measure that the knowledge has, in fact, been transferred.
Okay.
Yeah, now let me give you an example. It's easy to talk about this relative to things that are procedural, like check the box or follow the steps or something like that. Knowledge transfer, you can look at the results of their work and you can say, yep, the form is filled out properly.
Right.
So knowledge transfer there is not a big deal. And certainly that's a big part of lots of people's jobs, but that's not the hard part. The hard part comes when you're trying to get at what we call the wisdom or tacit knowledge, the secret sauce.
Yeah, something you couldn't write down procedurally.
Precisely. Things that require you to actually follow through with the way somebody approaches a task that's unique every single time. Like a sale is a sale, but customers are different every time, and you need to be able to respond to the differences.
Right.
This came up recently with a conversation I was having with an executive. Their product is a shoe, and the shoe gets built in 5 different countries in Asia. It's designed in America. Mm-hmm. And then built in 5 different countries in Asia. Mm-hmm. They needed to grow a population of people in Asia who could do a better job of participating in the design process. Mm-hmm. Now, that sounds pretty esoteric and fuzzy and fluffy.
Right.
They needed folks who were not comfortable with pushing back to learn how to push back. They needed them to participate in the design process from a, they use language like from a cultural perspective.
Right.
And that takes wisdom, that takes tacit knowledge, that takes creativity that is not necessarily familiar, to everybody there. And so we have developed a process that allows the measurability to come even in a situation as sort of amorphous as that. And here's how it would look.
Mm-hmm.
On Monday, you have a new employee or somebody
right.
who just gets assigned to a job. And they are, they're going to have to learn how to participate in this process and have the wisdom that somebody
right.
with 3, 5, 10 years of experience has. We know that we could ask them some questions, and those questions will help us to uncover whether or not they already get it. They already know how to tackle this situation.
Right. So there's an assessment originally, like, do they get it or not? Where are they on the level of knowing?
Exactly. And the assessment is, the questions that we ask at this assessment might be unfamiliar to most people. I think they're part of what's unique about what we approach.
Mm-hmm.
The questions are, some of them are obvious, like what are the steps in the process?
Mm-hmm.
Others of them are questions like, what are the mistakes that people often make when they're new?
Mm-hmm.
Another question might be, who do you have to work with or talk to or get permission from to make this happen? So who's in your Rolodex? Who's in your contact
right.
list? Another one might be, what are the rules you have to follow? And which ones can you blow off? Because
right.
not every rule is exactly necessarily
right.
intended as written. How do you know your work is good enough? The quality metrics that you have to follow that
right.
are good enough on that. And then things like what permissions do you have to get, for example,
right.
To be able to make things happen. Now, if you ask those questions on Monday of this employee, the odds are they will not be able to answer those
right.
questions. And that proves that they're not ready to go to work. So it's
okay.
measurable that they're not ready.
Right.
And then you can spend the week teaching them and helping them to answer those questions. And on Friday or a month later or a year later, as is appropriate, you can ask those same questions and you will find that the person who's learning is able to answer them.
And that's the measurable part.
That's the measurable part. And it prepares them to actually do the work and do it with a lower risk profile than they would
right.
have without that measurable.
So thank you so much, Steve Troutman, knowledge transfer expert, corporate speaker, and founder and principal of the Steve Troutman Company. Stay with us so we can find out more about how to get running as a new hire. I hear this all the time. I just got hired.
Absolutely.
Like, they're expecting me to do this huge task. How
mm-hmm.
do I go about doing
it?
Yeah,
it's the apprentice side of the equation. Who's going to be receiving
exactly,
the knowledge transfer?
Exactly. So tune in to listen to this or go and check it out later on iTunes or at firedupforcj.com.
Could be useful.
Bogged down by your daily grind? Not living up to your greatest potential? Then it's time to turn up the heat and get real with what truly matters, be it family, career, wellness, spirituality, or anything else that fuels your inner flame. Join Fire It Up with CJ as this respected life coach talks to a wide range of experts and everyday people for their inspiring and unconventional ideas to help you make the most from your life. Equal parts heartwarmer, cheerleader, and butt kicker, CJ Liu draws on her extensive experience in business and life coaching, along with her intuition and playful humor, to address meaningful topics with truth and irreverence. It takes just one spark to ignite a fire. For dates and showtimes, visit www.fireitupwithcj.com or www.transformationtalkradio.com.
We are living in a time of great challenges and greater opportunity for transformation. The good news is that public awareness of the need for change is also growing exponentially. More than ever, your transformative message is needed to empower millions across the globe.
Hi, I'm Dr. Pat, host of The Dr. Pat Show, and I'm excited about announcing an unprecedented opportunity for growth as we expand our broadcast by launching Transformation Talk Radio and the Transformation Network. Join me and a team of amazing people and host your own show on Transformation Talk Radio. Get ready to expand your horizons, tap into the best listeners anywhere, and join one of the most positive and expansive networks today.
Historically, there came a time when the boundary of water was transcended as man developed the boat, and the barriers of water became freeways. Join Dr. Pat as she launches this exciting venture. To host a show, call 1-800-930-2819 or email host@transformationtalkradio.com.
Imagine you had a way to protect yourself from cancer, depression, and disease, and dispel the nastiest bugs that attempt to hide undetected. Take a moment to wonder, how good does that feel? How powerful? Did you know that enough golden sunlight produces vitamin D in your body to protect itself against disease? Producing enough vitamin D can kill cancer cells, reduce blood pressure and inflammation, and even help with weight loss. This amazing little vitamin is actually not a vitamin at all, but a powerhouse of protection that can activate your body's innate healing ability, but only if you have enough in your blood to shine the light. Tune in and listen to award-winning author Dr. Lucinda Messer share how you can harness the power of sunlight to create a healthy body and mind. Her book, Powerful Medicine Vitamin D, shedding light on a worldwide health crisis, is like having a vitamin D expert on hand to answer all your health questions. For more information, visit PowerfulD.com. That's PowerfulD.com.
With CJ Show. I am CJ Liu, and we are talking to Steve Troutman. Welcome back, Steve.
Thank you.
Steve Troutman is the founder and principal of Steve Troutman Company, which is a knowledge transfer company helping people teach what they know.
Correct.
And this focus of this segment is really, I hear a lot of times when I'm coaching, doing career coaching, like, oh my gosh, I have this gigantic job, and mm-hmm. I have to learn it really quickly. Mm-hmm. First of all, why is this happening more and more? Like the pressure to learn things quickly seems worse than in the past.
Well, it has shifted a lot. And since our parents' generation, for example, you know, there was a time when a person would take on a job. It might take them 5 years to get up to speed. And while that was a long time, it was okay because the person would probably stay in the job 25, 30, 35 years. But those days are over. And a person starting a job today is much more likely to be there 5 years instead of 25 years. And so we need them to be able to get up to speed in 5 months, not 5 years. And if they're only going to stay 5 years, that's about how that's going to have to work. So that's why there's so much pressure.
Right.
Companies are expecting their new employees to grasp very complex tasks and be able to go to work kind of in the moment.
Right.
So we need to be able to help the person I call the apprentice.
Right.
So in every knowledge transfer situation, there's the expert, who's what we call the mentor, and then there's the apprentice, the person who's learning. Sometimes the apprentice is a new hire. That's an obvious one. Sometimes it's somebody who has been sitting next to you for 10 years, but now they're going to learn a piece of your job that they didn't know before, mm-hmm. cross-training, if you will. Mm-hmm. Sometimes they're taking on a new role because they've been promoted, and so they know a lot, but they don't know their new tasks, for example. Sometimes the apprentice is a contract worker who's coming in. They need to be able to get themselves up to speed and really right to work because there's a lot of assumptions about what we expect from our contract workers. So in all those situations, the apprentice also has the opportunity to really drive their own onboarding, mm-hmm. to take responsibility and get themselves up to speed. When my nephew, my wife's nephew, got his first job out of college, it didn't involve French fries or, you know, a tennis racket or something like that. And so he went to work at a very a big ad agency in San mm-hmm. Francisco. It was a very exciting job. And he'd been on the job for about 3 or 4 months when the president of his firm called him into the office and he said, "Gee, I'm kind of wondering, you know, you were hired at the same time as 3 other guys, but you seem to be getting up to speed a lot faster. You're taking on more responsibility. You're doing more."
My uncle Steve Troutman. Right, man. Of course I am.
And he said, "Well, my mom made me read my uncle's book." Yeah,
that's what
he said.
Yeah,
that was his quote. And so what he did is without telling anybody or without really even having a super successful mentoring program for his firm or something rigid or set up or anything like that.
He didn't have any structure.
He had no structure at all. He really
aside from your book.
But he brought it himself.
Yeah.
And the point I like to make is, most of
all new hires buy your book.
Exactly. Yes, absolutely. Yeah. Teach What You Know, available on Amazon. Absolutely. So, but what the point I like to make to people is most of us do not work for an A-plus organization. Most of us don't have a boss who totally gets this stuff, yeah, who has absolutely. A plan for us. It's almost never, frankly, that you walk in and they say, oh, hey, we're glad you're here. We have a plan for you. We're going to get you up to speed.
Absolutely.
You know, almost always you're going to have to drive it yourself. So why not just assume that you're going to take a lot of responsibility for getting yourself up to speed? And in our work, we give all the tools that we give to the mentors to teach work in reverse for the apprentices to learn. So I'll say that again. It's a little confusing, but all of the tools are designed to work both ways.
Right.
Whether I'm the mentor teaching or the apprentice learning, I can use the same tool set to help organize that. And we talked earlier in the last segment about these test questions and the idea that a mentor would want their apprentice to be able to answer those test questions so they can prove they transferred knowledge.
Right.
Well, those same test questions work in an, almost like an interview format for the apprentice. Can you tell me the mistakes that new people often make? Can you tell me the people I have to talk to make this successful? Can you tell me how I'll know if my work is good enough? Mm. Can you tell me the rules I have to follow and the ones I can blow off? Can you tell me the standards?
And this is what your nephew did.
And that's what he did. He took in those questions and that idea that his job was to get himself up to speed. Mm-hmm. And that allowed him to not only get up to speed faster, but also make that a visible. And he did that visibly. And people could see the difference because mm-hmm. his peers were not making the same kind of progress. And as this economy improves, all of us, many of us, will end up changing jobs. It's just going to be a big part of it. New opportunities will exist as the economy recovers. And also many people who have been in jobs for a long time will decide, okay, I've waited it out as long as I can. I'm ready to make a move.
Right.
And so taking on that responsibility, it will be one of the reasons why many people will be very successful in their new positions if they can work it that way.
Yeah. And share with me, I know you told me this great story about these folks from these Chinese nationals. Share with the audience that story, because I think it's fascinating.
This is kind of a concrete example of onboarding and getting people up to speed and what we're looking for. This is Intel, and they had... they'd hired a team in Shanghai, and they were going to be collaborating with a team in the United States. So half of the work would be done in the U.S. and half would be done in Shanghai. And the work would go back and forth pretty much with every shift. So as the time zones, and that means that they had to collaborate very, very deeply. Mm. So with that kind of collaboration expected, it would make sense that you would want them to know each other and be able to work together. So they did what a lot of companies do. They put them on a plane. And I got the call on a Tuesday before those guys, the eight of them, were going to arrive the following Monday. And the call I got was, they're coming, we don't really have an onboarding plan for them. Do you have any ideas for us? And I said, well, tell me a little bit about this group. Mm-hmm. For example, what are their job descriptions? Or then they said, we don't have that figured out entirely. And I said, well
you're flying over, we don't know who's coming over. But
I said, well, can you tell me about the guys themselves? Well, yeah, they're new to the company. Some of them are college hires. All of them are relatively recent hires for sure. Some of them have industry experience. But what's their job description? We're not sure about that. Well, can you tell me specifically what they're going to do? Like, what work will they do? Well, they'll be doing half of what we do. Well, what do you do? Well, we don't have that really mapped out exactly. You know, we're designers, so we just have to, you know.
You're brave to take that job
on.
And so, like
well, it was a very common problem that you had a bunch of people who had to learn their job, but we weren't really sure what the job was.
Right.
We had, of course, job descriptions, and we had, of course, history with the prior group. But when we came down to it, if you were to walk up to one of these guys and say, today's Monday, it's time to start your new job, start by doing this. There was no list of this.
Mm.
And that's the work we did with them. So I had 2 days available that week. We spent Thursday mapping out the list of work that these guys would need to do. I'll give you some examples.
You mean the Chinese
nationals would have to learn how to do, because basically it was the same work that was being done in the U.S. team.
So they could replicate the same work. Pattern.
Exactly. So we could say, what do you do? And they said, well, you have to be able to analyze this data. You have to be able to write these documents. You have to be able to run these meetings, lead these meetings. You have to be able to... design these widgets. You have to be able to write these tests, analyze the data from the tests. Those were examples of the kinds of things that was happening. And what we found in a matter of a few hours was that we could really map out line for line the work that they were going to do. And this was a really
important... You mean, like, so for example, one of the action items was, like, to do the test. So you would write line by line. Is that what you're referring
the
to?
The kinds of tests. Are you running the test? Are you writing the test? Or is it an automated test? Is it a manual test? And so what we weren't saying the how, we were saying the what. Okay. You will deliver a automated test on this this circuitry, for example, something like that. And what we found in really in a matter of hours is that we could really uncover very specifically and very clearly what it is that we were going to ask these guys to do. That was Thursday, and really in one day we mapped out all the work that all eight of those people were going to do. So that was quick, you know.
That's
incredible. It didn't take 100 hours.
Were there eight people? I mean, did you, was it you individually with these eight people?
It was me and representatives of the team that was in the U.S. So, and they cycled through. They were very busy people. Right. Some of them came for a couple of hours. Some of them could stay for 2 or 3 hours. And essentially, it was a brainstorming session that my team facilitated for them. But at the end of it, we had a crisp list. And really, this is what it felt like for the guys coming in from China. We could say to them, here's 99 things you don't know how to do. Mm-hmm. And while you're here for the next 6 weeks, your job is to learn how to do them. And, you know, that sounds straightforward, except for the fact that what would happen if they walked through the door and we said to them, look, we don't know what you need to learn how to do, and you don't either, but good luck with that.
That's my Microsoft experience.
Precisely. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. You're smart enough to get a job here. You must be smart enough to figure out what your job
exactly.
is.
Exactly. So good luck to you.
Precisely. So what happened, and this is the rest of the story, when they got to work on Monday morning, first time in America, English is a second language, brand new to the company, new to this position, obviously, they were each handed what we call a skill development plan. This is a list of all the stuff you don't know how to do that you need to learn how to do while you're here. Mm-hmm. And they met their mentors. The mentors have been trained on Friday. That's what we did on Friday, was we trained the mentors to teach. And they had meetings to set expectations and really kind of kick off the relationship, the mentor-apprentice relationship. And I was done with my part of the work. But they were able to go through that process. I got back there about halfway through, 3.5-4 weeks through the six-week cycle, and I had two meetings. One was with the U.S.-based engineers, and they, I said, how's it going? And they said, nobody's dead. Okay? So, in other words...
I guess it's a criteria for engineers, whether you're dead or not. That's kind of like, if you've ever, one thing I'm learning about.
If you've ever met an engineer, you know that, you know, they're not going to throw a ticker tape parade.
Right.
But the fact that they weren't angry or frustrated or upset or anything like that was really good. They said, nobody's dead.
Right.
The second thing they said... the second thing that happened is I got to go meet with the Chinese nationals and talk to them.
Right.
And I said, how's it going? And one of them pulled open his plan. And he said, Steve, I'm supposed to be on line 36 and I'm only on about line 29. So I'm a little behind the plan. And I think it might take me an extra 2 weeks for me to be able to fully get through my plan before I go back to Shanghai. Do you think it would be appropriate for me to ask for 2 more weeks to stay a little bit longer? And now, okay, so that the answer to that question doesn't matter. The point, the fact that we had somebody who was new to the company, English is a second language, and, you know, really brand new to this job, that after just a few weeks, they were really saying...
You know what? I think we're getting the cue that we have to continue the story after the break. We'll be right back.
Are you at a crossroads? Feeling stuck? I'm Karen Hager, the Fog City Psychic. My gift is helping people who are in transition receive spirit-led guidance about their next steps. I offer private sessions via phone or Skype, intuitive development classes, and much more. Please visit my website, fogcitypsychic.com, to find out how I can help you move out of the fog.
Saskia Rowell, the international soul guide who has followed her soul from Hong Kong and Africa to America. Saskia cracks open the lives of her clients and brings their soul's purpose to life. Are you stuck in a life that doesn't work? Go to yoursoulguidance.com for your 21-day roadmap to the life you secretly dream about, absolutely free. Discover surprising truths about your soulmate, talents, blocks, and more. Now is the time. Go to yoursoulguidance.com.
Did you know that the average woman will use up to 12,000 disposable pads and tampons in her lifetime? That's a lot of waste. Make the healthier choice for the planet and your body with Glad Rags washable cloth menstrual pads made with no plastics, adhesives, or gels. Glad Rags cloth pads are safe, simple, smart, period. For more information on how you can save the planet 1 month at a time, visit us at gladrags.com.
Ladies, are you living an inspired life? Do you yearn for a more passionate, dream-filled life? Here's Linda Joy, founder of Aspire Magazine, and she has a gift for you.
Aspire has launched its Mission to Inspire initiative with a commitment to give away 100,000 one-year digital subscriptions to women around the globe. Every subscription comes with a multitude of free gifts from our team inspiration partners.
To claim it all, go to AspireMag.net today. No purchase necessary. And live an inspired life.
Hey, Mary, I haven't seen you in so long. You look so different. What happened to your glasses? Did you have surgery? Whoa, I never noticed how blue your eyes are.
No, I didn't have surgery, and I don't have to wear glasses anymore. I searched the internet, and I found a website. It's called BetterEyesightNow.com. It is the best thing I have ever done. There's a program called Regaining Your Vision Naturally. And, oh, by the way, it helps reduce stress. You should check it out. And you might be able to get rid of your glasses. Go to BetterEyesightNow.com.
With CJ, and I am CJ Liu, and I am talking to Steve Troutman, the founder and principal of the Steve Troutman Company and a knowledge transfer expert. And Steve was just sharing this incredible story about a bunch of Chinese nationals that he had to train in 6 weeks to do jobs that people have been doing for how many years?
Years and years,
right? And so in 6 weeks, they had to learn their job.
They had to, you know, the thing that they were trying to do was they were spending 6 weeks in country. So they were coming from China to the United States. Mm-hmm. They were going to only be there for 6 weeks. And the point, you know, my role was to make sure they used the time well. Mm-hmm. I'm not a technical expert. I wasn't an expert in their skill set. I was just setting up a process where the experts that did exist in the U.S. who were going to be with them for 6 weeks would be able to use that time in a really methodical way. And, you know, to summarize what we were starting to talk about, we created for them what we call a skill development plan. Mm-hmm.
And the skill, which was like 99 skills that you need to know in order to do this job.
Precisely. This is 99 things you need to know how to do, tasks and skills that you can take a picture of somebody doing.
And you got in a day, that you got from these folks in the U.S. in a day, you got their 99 skills, which
correct,
I think is phenomenal.
Through interviewing them and just a process of asking a lot of questions, we actually uncovered roughly 99 things that they needed to learn how to do. Now, we gave that list to the Chinese nationals when they arrived on their first day. And after they'd been there for about 4 weeks or so, I got a chance to ask them how they thought they were doing in terms of getting up to speed. And what was so interesting is when I went in, I said, so how's it going? Just a very open question. And one of the guys that I was working with, he said, Steve, here's my plan. And according to my plan, by the time you've been here 4 weeks, you should be able to answer questions and demonstrate skills in roughly, you know, more than half of all the skills that I'm supposed to learn. And he said, I'm a little behind.
Right.
You know, I might need a couple more weeks to be able to finish my plan before I go back to Shanghai. Do you think they would give me 2 more weeks? And what struck me about his question wasn't whether or not that he would get that extra time. It's the fact that an employee who was brand new to the company, brand new to the country, speaking English as a second language, was saying to me, I'm a little behind after 4 weeks.
And would know that.
Now, if you think about your last job, when you started the position, what were you saying at 4 weeks? You know, what were your typical...
I'm still screwed. Something along the lines.
At 4 weeks, most people are saying things like, well, I don't cry as often as I did when I first
got where the bathroom is.
I can order pizza by myself. You know, I mean, things like that. So what was really important was that he was confidently questioning his own status, because he knew where he was and he knew where he was supposed to go. And that wasn't his mentor talking or his boss talking, that's him talking.
Right.
So we talk about apprentices getting themselves up to speed. One of the ways that they could do that is by being given a plan that they can drive themselves.
Right.
And when we talk about cross-generational pieces, this is a huge piece of the puzzle, because the younger generation, the Gen Y population under 29 coming into the workforce, they are insisting on this. They do not want they don't want to be beholden to anybody. They want to be as independent as possible. They want to know they want the marching orders and being given tools to be successful. And
and they know they can't rely on their bosses or structures to help them out, so they have to be
that's exactly right. They want to do more on their own. And you know what? managers want them to do more on their own.
Right.
We want them to take responsibility.
Well, we expect because we were like, I don't have any time to train you. Precisely. I'm going to train you like I was trained,
yeah.
Which is no training at all. I would love to.
Jump into the deep end, exactly.
And how do you do things like, you know, so I understand things like, you know, maybe an engineering task where it seems very procedural, but how do you do things? How does knowledge transfer work in, let's say, more creative tasks, like I'm an artist, or, you
yeah.
know, how does
yeah.
that work?
Well, we work with very creative people, people whose job title is artist, for example, in the video game industry, so they're making up fun,
yeah.
or people whose job title includes crafting, a word like crafting,
mm-hmm.
or where one of the areas of expertise is innovation, you know, how can
yeah. So how do you teach innovation?
How do you teach things like
yeah.
that, exactly? Well, let me start by saying, it starts with raw talent. So there's no way knowledge transfer is going to take somebody who's incapable of innovation and make them capable of an innovation, right? So we got to start with a baseline of
raw talent. They have to have some natural skills.
They have to have some basic raw talent. But, you know, the truth is, for things like innovation and creativity, artistry, there's a percentage of the population who have that in their gene pool, and it just comes out of them. And good
without
for,
any structure,
yeah,
they just figure it out.
It just happens because they're so
right.
gifted, and isn't
right.
that more well? Good for them is
yeah.
what I always
you're
like
irritated.
To say. exactly. So you know, good for them that they have this innate ability. But what about the rest of us? How can we act like people who are innovative? How can we behave like those who are really creative? And
right.
what we find when we look at it is, and this is particularly true, a number of my clients were trying to build a culture of innovation,
mm-hmm.
or a culture of creativity.
Right.
What we do is we look at, we actually just interview the people who are considered the most creative, and we start to pay attention to what how that manifests itself. So what do you actually do? And here's some examples. Creative people tend to bring ideas in a certain way.
Hmm.
You know, the way that they present the idea to their peers, do they present it in the form of a story or in the form of a prototype or in the form of a crayon
yeah.
sketch
right.
or whatever? How do they present it? And then how do they move the idea through the organization so that not only do we hear and see the creativity, but there's actually some outcome that comes
right.
from it. We find value in that. So we can, those are things that can be taught, how to present an idea, how to move an idea through the creative process. Those are examples. Another one is when somebody else presents an idea, creative people tend, or innovative people, or crafters, they tend to tackle somebody else's idea in an interesting and unique way.
Hmm.
So how do you vet the idea that your peer brings to you? Do you shut them down? Do you say nice things so that they'll talk more? What are the questions you ask?
Right.
What is the data you expect to gather? And when do you do that? And so we can start to uncover the way that they approach somebody else's idea is another example. Those are just a few examples of the ways that we look at innovative and creative people, and we start to uncover their approach, and then we can get them to teach that approach to others. Now, it will not replicate their genius, but it will allow many people to elevate their game and participate in the creative process in a much more kind of rich and interesting way.
Were there some surprising things when you did that analysis for companies that were, you know, highly innovative or creating that creative culture? What were kind of, and you know, you worked in a culture like that yourself. Were
mm-hmm.
there kind of some surprising things for
yeah,
you when you
yeah.
did that?
Well, I'll tell you a personal story actually to get at this. When we were new at Microsoft,
and we only have 1 minute to tell the story.
So,
by the way, so be creative.
Yeah. Well, I'll just say that the surprises were tended to be around how obvious some things were, and that when we actually looked at them and thought about them, like the fact that somebody might come at you with a bunch of very aggressive questions might feel like it's a shutdown, but actually it's an investment in your idea and your time.
Mm.
So teaching people that, you know, a set of aggressive questions might feel like you're being beat up, or it might feel like you're being given a gift, and
right.
you know, so a lot of that's an example of one
mm.
I was surprised by and that really helped me.
Yeah.
And when we started to teach people that, it became clearer and easier for them to participate in that rather than
right.
be defensive about it. And that's
right.
a quick one-minute
example. Important thing for the culture, too, right?
Exactly.
I mean, if you want to have a culture, you have to be okay with receiving what seems like harsh feedback, but
yes.
is meant as a loving thing.
Yeah, yeah.
In some weird way,
right?
It's
an investment,
right?
Yeah, exactly.
Interesting. So thank you, Steve Troutman. This is awesome.
Mm.
I just love your work. And folks can get to your website by... What?
My name is Steve Troutman, so it's stevetroutman.com, and it's spelled T-R-A-U-T, T-R-A-U-T-M-A-N. And my book is called Teach What You Know. And it has many of these ideas. We work primarily with large companies, but small companies and others can get many, many, many of the ideas right out
and
of
And a lot of them on the website, too.
Yeah, and the website has tools that can be downloaded that are also really helpful.
A big thanks for everyone out there. Thank you again. Thank you, Chris, our station manager. Tune in next Thursday as we talk to Lama Surya Das about time management, but from a Buddhist perspective. We'll see you next week.
Thank you.
You've been listening to Fire It Up with CJ. Tune in each week on Transformation Talk Radio at 1 p.m. Pacific Time, 4 p.m. Eastern Time for more of Fire It Up with CJ. It takes just one spark to ignite a fire. For dates and showtimes, visit www.fireitupwithcj.com or www.transformationtalkradio.com.
Transformation Talk Radio, a higher consciousness perspective. The hosts on Transformation Talk Radio offer a positive and new paradigm shift, a new vision for a collective future. They are empowering and helping all of us experience a powerful wave of personal shifts and cultural change as we break through to even greater levels of awareness. Take down our toll-free number, 1-800-930-2819. Call in, connect, make sure you tap into some of the world's most empowering psychics, healers, and more. Get an on-air reading with the best. Tune in, transformationtalkradio.com. Hey, everybody, we'll see you there.
We are living in a time of great challenges and greater opportunity for transformation. The good news is that public awareness of the need for change is also growing exponentially. More than ever, your transformative message is needed to empower millions across the globe.
Hi, I'm Dr. Pat, host of The Dr. Pat Show, and I'm excited about announcing an unprecedented opportunity for growth as we expand our broadcast by launching Transformation Talk Radio and the Transformation Network. Join me and a team of amazing people and host your own show on Transformation Talk Radio. Get ready to expand your horizons, tap into the best listeners anywhere, and join one of the most positive and expansive networks today.
Historically, there came a time when the boundary of water was transcended as man developed the boat, and the barriers of water became freeways. Join Dr. Pat as she launches this exciting venture. To host a show, call 1-800-930-2819 or email host at transformationtalkradio.com.
Imagine you had a way to protect yourself from cancer, depression, and disease, and dispel the nastiest bugs that attempt to hide undetected. Take a moment to wonder, how good does that feel? How powerful? Did you know that enough golden sunlight produces vitamin D in your body to protect itself against disease? Producing enough vitamin D can kill cancer cells, reduce blood pressure and inflammation, and even help with weight loss. This amazing little vitamin is actually not a vitamin at all, but a powerhouse of protection that can activate your body's innate healing ability, but only if you have enough in your blood to shine the light. Tune in and listen to award-winning author Dr. Lucinda Messer share how you can harness the power of sunlight to create a healthy body and mind. Her book, Powerful Medicine Vitamin D, Shedding Light on a Worldwide Health Crisis, is like having a vitamin D expert on hand to answer all your health questions. For more information, visit PowerfulD.com. That's PowerfulD.com.
You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio. Our hosts are setting a new standard for a fresh kind of talk radio, creating conversations that are transforming the world, one listener at a time. Transformation Talk Radio's mission is to broadcast a distinct blend of live talk radio interviews with a mix of uplifting and intelligent news, educational and practical information. Topics range from personal development to critical issues relevant to a rapidly changing world. Stay tuned. Transformation Talk Radio starts at the top of every hour.
Ugh, aren't you tired of the same old negative vibe?
Hey, Valerie, have you heard about TransformationTalkRadio.com?
No, what's that?
Dr. Pat is launching a new network. And
Dr. Pat?
Dr. Pat.
How many hours is she going to be on?
It won't be all Dr. Pat. She'll be joined by her friends. Transformative hosts from around the globe. TransformationTalkRadio.com is a 24/7 network.
24 hours of Dr. Pat and her guests?
No, 24 hours of Dr. Pat and her hosts.
Oh, my gosh, I'm so excited. Where is it going to be broadcast?
You're going to be able to hear her in Seattle, Boston, Connecticut, New York, Rhode Island, on over 300 cable radio stations, and on the Internet everywhere. Listen live at TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Great, we should spread the word.
Absolutely, spread the word. Go to TransformationTalkRadio.com.